We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting ready to talk some NASCAR with WWL's morning producer, Tim Zimmer. Bobby, what are some of the things that you want to see from this Pelicans team tonight? Are you going to even tune into this game or kind of skip it for the evening?
Hell no. Hell no. No, if they were playing for something, I'd watch every minute of it. I'd watch the whole play. No, there's no way. What is this, a summer league game or like a preseason contest? Were you trying to develop? No. Listen, I love basketball. I don't love it that much. No, I'm being honest. I am not watching I might look at the end to see what happened, like I casually watch when they lost to the Kings the other night. But, no, I am not watching. I'm not. I'm so discouraged. I'm disheartened. I'm not watching.
We got
now maybe Mark Menard might be watching and a number of diehard Pelicans fans, but I am not.
We got Tim Zimmer on the line now, the morning show producer. And I know, Tim, if this game mattered tonight, would you be able to stay up and watch it?
Oh, definitely. If the Pelicans were on tonight and they actually had a shot at the playoffs, I would definitely be watching, even though I do have to go in. It's super early in the morning. I've sacrificed the hours of my sleep to watch the Pelicans on some nights. And going back just back to the playoffs, I think it's a disgrace that if the Phoenix Suns can go 8-0 in the bubble and not be rewarded with a playoff spot if the Portland Trailblazers win tonight. I just think that's a little ridiculous, but that's how the schedule, I guess, sets up.
Yeah, that's how the schedule, set up. I think, Tim, we're all disappointed, and I think Mark Menard would acknowledge this, is that, come on, they had the ability. You could say, well, 6-2, that might be a little bit of a stretch. But 5-3, no, they had a couple of games that had just laid an egg, and it all started, to me, was from the get-go. It's how they started games in the opening minutes. And nearly almost every outing, it was like, well, we might win, but we dug ourselves a hole that it might be too hard to come back from. So I was very, very discouraged how they treated the bubble and not that sense of urgency.
Yeah, I think Steve mentioned it this morning on sports on the news. I think that Brandon Ingram missed shot against in the first game of the bubble. I think that was the huge deciding factor of how the rest of the mood was set with the Pelicans. I think him missing that three-pointer, if they win that game, I think you see a different kind of Pelicans team with more energy, more excitement come out, because they just looked flat against the Clippers, and eventually they did beat the Memphis Grizzlies, but I just think the momentum, that roller coaster momentum, was just too much for them to handle, especially for a young team.
Yeah, now, Tim, looking at NASCAR, what occurred in Michigan and at Michigan International Speedway, and I want you to comment on the upcoming races. But I'm looking at the Fords. Ford has now won 6 straight cup races at Michigan. And I'm looking at Kevin Harvick has taken 4 of the past 5. And, boy, it seems like it's Kevin Harvick or Denny Hamlin considering dealing with the pandemic. What is your take on that? Look, I look at Hamlin was right behind Harvick for the final few laps and came close to passing him a couple of times. But Harvick was able to stay in front for the series high 6 victories now of the season. Boy, Kevin Harvick, I don't know what they're doing, their team, their pit crew, the whole team, but, boy, he's sure doing it right.
Well, Kevin Harvick also benefited a lot from having that number one pit stall. So when they did go to pit, he was the first one out usually most of the time. But his car was just unbelievable on Saturday and Sunday. He easily had the fastest car on Saturday. And I thought maybe on Sunday when the second race, him starting in 20th place, it would be a little bit harder to get up back up to the front, but he was literally up front by the end of stage one, up into stage two. I think he won stage two there. So, Kevin Harvick's dominance at Michigan is like you said, 4 of the last 5. You have Fords that just, that's where, Ford's in Michigan. So, and for you just, their dominance has just been so good there. at 6 wins on the season, he's easily the favorite because they do go to Phoenix for the championship. And I think that's Kevin Harvick's. You think Michigan's a good track for Kevin Harvick. Phoenix is his best track, and that's where the championship race is. So I think this season Kevin Harvick takes it. I think there's a lot of guys that are getting better. You saw Brad Keselowski. I think he finished second place on the Saturday race. I think he's a guy who's improved a lot. A guy, his teammate Joey Logano, he fell off a lot on Saturday and on Sunday. I thought I got him having a third and fourth place finish the last two races before this. I thought he would have a bigger impact in the race, and he kind of just faded off. And then I know their other Penske teammate Ryan Blaney, he was actually wrecked in the Sunday race. He was a contender for both Saturday and on Sunday, and he was wrecked on Saturday on Sunday by his teammate Brad Keselowski, and they were both taken out. But yeah, the Fords have been dominant so far in these races. And then, I mean, outside of Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. has kind of give Joe Gibbs racing a little bit. He's got now 3 straight third place finishes. And I think Martin Truex will be the favorite this upcoming week as far as the Toyotas go. But I mean, it's kind of a 2-man race right now between Ford and Toyota. Chevrolet is kind of like a 1-man team with Chase Elliott there. I don't think his car is the Chevrolets aren't as powerful and as fast right now as you see with Ford and as you see with Toyota with basically Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex.
Now, you know, Tim, you might know a little insight on this, but how does a teammate feel? And I'm looking at Brad Keselowski, still never won a cup race in his home state of Michigan. You know, but it has to be frustrating to him. But you look at the Penske teammate and Brad Keselowski and Ryan Blaney, they crashed out early in the final stage. I mean, is that just bad luck or what when that happens? Because, you know, a lot of times you can take out another driver. We take out a teammate, but the Penske team got to be really frustrated about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just driving for you. That's just more bad luck than anything. Ryan Blaney was in the lead, and they were just driving hard. And Ryan Blaney likes to ride the middle lane. There's 3 lanes in Michigan. There's the bottom groove, there's the high groove, and then there's that middle lane that most drivers don't really drive, but that's Ryan Blaney's go-to lane. And because Keselowski just was riding that bottom lane and got a little loose and went up with the track a little bit, took out Ryan Blaney's back panel, and then they just both hit the wall and knocked each other out of the race. You saw this earlier in the season when the season first started at Daytona. You saw Joey Logano actually hit their other teammate, wreck Brad Keselowski a few times, and Brad just had terrible luck. It was either his teammates taking him out or he was just wrecking. And now, like I said, Brad has just turned it on all of a sudden, and now he has this, you know, top three, top four car there. So, I mean, like I said, those things happen. I don't think Brad, I think just signed a 1-year extension with Penske Ford. And that's not the way you want to see, you want to see what your results after you sign that 1-year deal. But I think he did finish second place in the Saturday race. So he did have a good result over the weekend. It just happened to be the other race. He takes out his teammates, but Blaney's got a win this season. Brad's got 2 wins or 3 wins this season. So it's not going to really impact them as much as it would a guy like a Kyle Busch who has no wins, or a guy like a William Byron that don't have wins, or Jimmy Johnson. That would impact them more because they're on the bubble of the playoffs, not a guy that have wins that are already into the final 16.
Yeah, Tim, that's what I was going to bring up. You mentioned Martin Truex Jr. finished third, Kyle Busch finished fourth. Now he still remains winless on the year. What do you think his expectations going forward? And just break down the race this weekend.
Yeah, Kyle Busch last week, he finished 40th in, I think, the race in New Hampshire. And it was kind of funny. They asked him after the race. He's like, so what, you know, he blew out a tire. His tire just goes out. And they asked him about it. He's like, yep, that's just 2020 for you. So Kyle Busch is really having a terrible year with all things considered. But I think this week they're in Daytona, which normally is a restrictor plate race where, you know, you see them going up to 200 miles per hour around the track. But this week it's a road race, which is the first time NASCAR has ever had a road roval type track like you see at Charlotte last year. So this will be the first time the drivers actually make a left and right turn on this track. So they won't practice. They've already set their qualifying based on last week's standings and how they finish. So when Kevin Harvick makes that first left turn into the turn one of Daytona, no one else will have any practice as well. So it's kind of interesting. So when you look at guys who you're looking at, you want to look at road course drivers. And the two guys that kind of stick out are Martin Truex Jr., who's won at Sonoma before, and a guy like Chase Elliott, who's really, really good at road courses. He's won at Watkins Glen twice. He's done really well at Sonoma. So those are two guys you kind of want to look at. And like going back to Kyle Busch, Kyle Busch actually ran the 24-hour Daytona race earlier this year. So if there's a guy who has experience on this road course, guys that have raced here before, Kyle Busch has actually done this year. And Chase Elliott said, had they known they were going to go to Daytona on a road course this year, I think you would have seen more NASCAR drivers do the 24-hour Daytona race earlier this year. So I think that gives Kyle Busch an advantage. And he's not a bad road course driver. I think he's done pretty well. But I still think Martin Truex Jr., his third-place finishes, that momentum, I think that gives him the edge over Kyle Busch. I think Chase Elliott does well here. Normally, the Chevrolets have done really well at the Charlotte Roval. You saw Alex Bowman finish here second place last year at the Charlotte Roval, and you saw William Byron do well. So if you're going to take a Toyota, I wouldn't go with Chase Elliott. I'd go with his teammates Alex Bowman and William Byron. But I think it's the Toyotas this week. I think it's Martin Truex and Kyle Busch, who've both raced here before in their past. Martin Truex back in 2003. So I think that's where the advantage goes. You look for drivers who have raced on this road course before in a different kind of race style, different kind of car.
WWL's morning show producer, Tim Zimmer, thank you, man. And are these racers going to need their rain tires for this weekend?
No, I don't know what the weather forecast is, but I do know Goodyear's bringing in the same kind of tire they use for the road courses. They're not road tires, but per se, but they're different than what you see at a super speedway. So I'm hoping that the weather clears, because earlier this year, NASCAR's had a really bad time with weather, and we're in Florida, so you never know what you're going to expect.
Thanks again, Tim. Get some rest. I'm Steve Geller with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Abia, here on Sports Talk, coming back right after the break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.